Drága fiúk és lányok, június 6-án a Budapest Parkban lép fel a The Dead South. A kanadai banda zenéje ír népzenei alapokon nyugszik, de nagyon sokfelől inspirálódnak, felléptek már Ausztráliában, felléptek Európában, Amerikában, szóval mindenhol valahogy tudnak hozzájuk kapcsolódni az emberek, és akivel most fogok beszélgetni, Nate Hiltz, a banda egyik tagja.
Hi.
Let's start with the Hungarian gig, because this is not your first time in Hungary. You played in post-Soviet countries before. So this is a very specific music based on Irish folk music. And what I want to know, how does the audience react in a country like this?
Well, surprisingly, it does quite well. Last time we played in Hungary and Bratislava and Chechnya, the crowds have been excellent. They respond really well to the music. Yeah, because they're influenced by sort of Irish folk, but also American folk. So we kind of take a blend of that, and then we add in our own musical interests as well. And it seems to be touching a lot of different places, and we're really fortunate that people are liking it.
Do you collect folk music as well, or you use the style, and mostly you play your own music?
Yeah, I mean, we're inspired by a lot of different people, of course, but we write our own music. And whatever comes naturally is kind of just what we throw together. So it's a nice blend of like folk and a little bit of, I don't know, some metal riffs sometimes. And we kind of get all over the place. Classical with the cello.
Guess what? My morning was about the Dead South. I listened to many of your songs. There was one thing I was sorry about. You know what it is?
What's that?
This was the first time I listened to this music. The chance that music can be spread out of the world, did it make any difference to you in the past 10 years? So do you feel the difference with the audience and the influence of your music since the past 10 years?
It's definitely made a big change in my life. I mean, playing music has allowed me to travel the world, which has been quite amazing. And the stories that people share with us everywhere we go are all quite nice, how we've helped them through tough times, something like that. And it's, you know, you don't think about that when you're writing a song. You know, you're just putting down music that you enjoy, you think it's going to be fun. You like it, hopefully other people like it. And then you hear how it saves people's lives sometimes and, you know, gets them out of bad spots. And that's been really rewarding to hear things like that, just how it's not only happening at home, but it happens, you know, in Europe and Australia and South American countries too. It's pretty wild.
Wow, in Australia. How do they relate to this music? Australian.
Well, they seem to really take it, which is wild because it's on the other side of the world. We went last January for our first time, and we sold out every show there. And then we came back this year and we sold at every show, and then we added more shows and the venues got bigger. So they seem to relate quite well to it.
What do you think about this music and the connection with the audience? Is it an arena music, stadium music, or it fits better a club, more private room?
Well, I think it has a place for both. I mean, we've never played arenas and stadiums. You know, we're not that big or anything, but the show sizes keep growing, so we're playing a lot more of outdoor amphitheaters now, which have up to like, you know, 10,000, 20,000 capacities, which has been really nice. But it definitely fits well in smaller clubs, for sure, with the intimate setting. You feel like you're a part of it. But we try to adapt. If the show is bigger, you know, you try to make more for people to be able to see and feel it. And then for the smaller ones, you downscale and you make it more of an intimate setting, so.
There is one thing about your look, and this is very specific again and more classic than anything else I've seen before. Was it organic to find your look? What was first, the music or the look you figured out together?
Yeah, it was definitely organic, and it started with the music. We just started the band and we had the idea to kind of start wearing the same clothes. Or, you know, the same hats or something. Yeah. That was the idea. And then the white shirts and suspenders was an idea one time. And then we started just going with that. And then from there, our look, or each of our individual looks organically grew a little bit with it as well. So it was the music and then the looks that came that suited the music. So
can you tell me about how you met the four of you?
Yeah. I actually met Scott, who's our mandolin vocalist, and Danny Kenyon, our cello player, at the age of 5 or 6. We grew up and went to school together. And then I met Colton in university, where he was on the wrestling team with some of my roommates. And then we just happened to meet one time when they brought him over. Me and Colton started talking. We were listening to some music. It was Trampled by Turtles. And he had mentioned that he really liked that song. He's always wanted to play in a band like that. And he just got a banjo. And I said, I've always wanted to play in a band too. So we started and then pulled in the other guys. And here we are.
All of you live in Canada, right?
Yeah.
We talk about Europe. We talk about America. We talk about Australia, where you played before. What is the biggest difference in playing around these places?
Well, I guess like bluegrass is very specific. Bluegrass band, they're very the purest kind of bluegrass will stick to not veering away from what bluegrass is. So, you know, you're having your standard instruments like a banjo, an acoustic guitar. You might have a fiddle in there and then a stand-up bass player. And, you know, they stick to a specific kind of vein. And we take the base of that, we use some of the instruments, and then we veer off into these other kind of musical interests that we all like, and then we kind of come back at the end. Yeah. So we just explore a little more. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the biggest influence for you, even for you personally, or even as a band?
Well, that's tough. There's a lot of good influences out there. When we first started, the influence at the time was there was this new wave of bluegrass kind of coming out. So it's like Trampled by Turtles, Old Crow Medicine Show, The Devil Makes Three, and bands like this. And we were really just enjoying that kind of sound and the way it made us feel. So that was a huge influence at that time to start a band. Prior to that, the influences have been far and wide between the four of us, like from classical music to heavy metal, to death metal, to punk, you know, to Neil Diamond, to, you know, like just oldies and everywhere in between.
All the raw music, right?
Yeah.
Was there any chance to end up in pop music or rock music?
Definitely more of a chance to end up in rock music. When we first started, we actually had a drummer, an electric guitar player. That was before Scott and Danny were in the band.
Don't you miss the drum now?
No, we're very percussive the way we play.
Oh yeah.
So that's also been a lot of fun. Like we have a kick drum, so Colton will play the kick drum, Scott will play a foot tambourine, and then the way we all strum, it's syncopate. So we get a lot of rhythmic stuff happening there.
Yeah.
And we just play off of each other. Yeah.
You humiliate the instruments.
Yeah, exactly.
You kick it, you hit it.
I mean, with those instruments, you could definitely see how it could have leaned that way, especially because we like playing aggressively and we like really breaking down into things a lot of times. And if you add drums and electric guitars and stuff, the chance of it going more rock was much heavier. Yeah.
So you will have a European tour now, and you come to Budapest on the 6th of June.
That's right.
How was the last time? What did you like in Budapest, and also during the gig in Budapest?
Well, it was just nice to be there. The food is incredible. It reminds me a lot of where I'm from. I'm from this region in Saskatchewan. We call it the pierogi garlic belt, and it's a lot of like Ukrainian, Russian, Hungarian influence. Like people that came over earlier on, and that's kind of like there's this path that kind of goes all the way across Saskatchewan and across Canada too, but it's very heavy where I'm from. And the food is very similar, so I felt at home, which was excellent.
For some reason, when I asked this question, most of the people answer with the food. A lot of people like the food in Hungary.
It's good food. Yeah.
Yeah, that is important, actually. Yes. So how do you travel in between the countries in Europe? So you use a bus, a nightliner, you take a flight, or what is the what is usual?
Well, we fly to, for example, we just landed in Germany yesterday, and we'll hop on a Nightliner, and then we'll nightline across. If you go to Australia, it's different because Australia is so spread apart. You have to fly almost every day,
yeah,
which is tough with all your gear and stuff. But yeah, it's much, much nicer when you're on a Nightliner and all of your stuff's in one place and you just hop into your bed at night. And
but can you sleep on it?
Oh, I can. Yeah, very well.
Because it's moving. Yeah. It's all the time moving.
Yeah.
So you wake up in another city.
Yeah, so that's like really nice in terms of you get some sleep, but you kind of lose the magic of travel.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
You don't see anything.
You fall asleep. Yeah, you fall asleep in Hamburg and you wake up in Paris, for example.
Yeah.
You don't get to see the drive there. You just wake up and you're somewhere new. It's kind of interesting.
Did you ever make a mistake with intros like, I don't know, good evening, Paris, and you've been in Bratislava? Did you do something like this before?
I've done that a couple of times, yeah.
And it's, really? It's,
you know exactly where you are, but there's just this exhaustion that kicks in sometimes and your brain just not firing up.
Yeah. That must be tough. Do you have any routine before the show?
Yeah, we usually start doing warm-ups that we started doing this about a year or two ago, where we started doing warm-ups about an hour in, start playing guitar, start warming up vocals, and it kind of gets you into the mode. Ready to play. When we were younger, there was no routine. We just drink beers and then hop on stage and, you know.
No relaxing?
No, not back then.
No. Backstage life.
Well, backstage life and band life. So you just, you get to the gig as quick as you can because you, who knows where you are, how far away you are.
Yeah.
You load in, you start drinking beers, you play your set. You tear it all down, you sell merchandise, you drink beers, you hop back in the van, and then you drive to the hotel. And then you sleep for 3 hours and you wake up and you do it again.
When do you return to Canada?
June 28th, I go back to Canada.
Okay, so you're far away now. And do you have families, guys?
Scott, Colton, and Danny all have wives and children. And right now I just have a girlfriend and a dog. So.
Wow. So hope you will enjoy, anyhow, the Europe tour. Take care and enjoy the van life. And so we see you on 6th of June in the Budapest Park.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.